Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Operation Confidence Radio Talk Show, America's Invisible Heroes, with Consuela Mackey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to America's Invisible Heroes, a show dedicated to our veterans and their families. Yes, I'm your host, Consuela Mackey, Executive Director of a grassroots nonprofit organization for veterans called Operation Confidence. For those who may be new to the show, American Invisible Heroes strives to provide a platform for veterans to be able to share their experiences, heartfelt stories, challenges, and accomplishments. Now, I'd like to introduce you to my wonderful co-host, Air Force veteran and Operation Confidence board member, Matt Davison, U.S. Army Reserve and board Army Reserve veteran and board member, Charles Whitehead, and Taylor Marcellus, board member and announcer. Good afternoon to you all, and welcome LA Radio listeners and viewers.
Welcome, everyone.
You're welcome.
Now we're going to turn it over to Matt. Matt, you have some informative information to share today?
Yeah, in case some of you may have missed it, yesterday was Armed Forces Day. It's a day that we generally honor our veterans with parades and gatherings and flyovers. And because of the pandemic, we didn't have any gatherings or parades, but we did have some flyovers, which were pretty spectacular. But the first official Armed Forces Day took place on May 20th, 1950, and it was themed Team for Defense in honor of our special day. B-36 bombers flew over state capitals. A march was led by more than 10,000 veterans and troops in Washington, D.C., and over 33,000 people participated in a New York City parade. In addition, the first Armed Forces Day also played an essential part in educating society and expanding public knowledge of the military and the role that they play in the community. Therefore, it wasn't only a means to honor those who serve or who have served in the military, but also to showcase the top-of-the-line equipment and abilities used to protect those in our country. In 1961, John F. Kennedy declared Armed Forces Day a national holiday. It is celebrated on the third Saturday of every May, and is exhibited by exercises, parades, and receptions that highlight and honor our military and all of its strength. To quote President John F. Kennedy in 1963, he said, "Our servicemen and women are serving throughout the world as guardians of peace, many of them away from their homes, their friends, and their families. They are visible evidence of our determination to meet any threat to the peace with measured strength and high resolve. They're also evidence of a harsh but inescapable truth that the survival of freedom requires great cost and commitment and great personal sacrifice." And that was President Kennedy's statement. And I hope that those of you who remembered and celebrated had a great day. And that's all I've got for you on Armed Forces Day.
All right. That's great. Thank you, Matt.
Sure.
Now, Taylor, please introduce our first guest speaker for today.
You got it, Connie. Our returning guest is Ms. Dorsey Dewan, Director of Make Music LA, and for the Planning Committee of the Congress of Neighborhood, Local Neighborhood Council, and Advisory Board for Arts for LA. Ms. Dorsey, take it away.
You're muted.
You're muted, hon. That's okay. Unmute.
There you go. Thank you so much. Uh-huh. So sorry about that. It's really good to be here today. And I will say the last name is Dujon. It's got the zh sound. And I am not the director of the Congress of Neighborhoods, but I'm a member of it. So I helped to make it happen. But I'm really happy to be here, and that's a nice mistake. I would love to own up to that. But you know, I'm going to talk to you today about Make Music LA, and also about military music and bands. So, but first of all, I just kind of want to say that, you know, Los Angeles is known as the entertainment capital of the world, and now more than ever, we must come together in harmony to shine a light on healing through the power of music and art. We invite you to join Make Music Day's worldwide celebration by sharing this initiative to community through your newsletter, event calendars, and social media. Let's show the world that we are communities of hope, togetherness, healing, and love. And what I would like to let you know is that the history of music and the history of military music. Throughout history, music has played a vital role in military life. The music, as well as the military instruments, are almost as significant a symbol of identity as the very colors of a regiment. In the modern day, too, the symbolic influences of military music is evident across the globe. An ancient tradition, Greek and Roman armies would always employ musicians and military instruments to play in all areas of martial life, from the camps to the battlefield. At this time, military music had two purposes. Firstly, it was an easy way to convey orders and generally communicate with the troops. Moreover, it could play a motivational role for the soldiers. Greek armies would recite tales of past heroes to the accompaniment of music to remind soldiers of their strength and courage. Medieval changes. It was the Crusades that had the greatest impact on military music in the Middle Ages. Crusaders were inspired by the Saracen military bands, along with the array of military instruments. As it was for ancient armies, regiments performed military music on the battlefield as a way of conveying orders as well as motivating the troops as they entered battle. Returning crusaders brought back Saracen military instruments and a concept of martial music. These products, mostly drums and brass horns, were then popularized and integrated into various armies. These newly formed military bands began to travel with the army, and thus they created the origins of the marching bands as we know them. 20th century function. The development of modern technology led to significant changes in the world of military music. Military bands were no longer required as a means of communication on the battlefield. Military music therefore became solely symbolic, performed to motivate troops and instill a sense of patriotism and identity. Through the development of radio and film, national governments found it easier to spread propaganda and national pride with the help of military music. This was particularly important, especially in Britain around the time of the World Wars. Moreover, the ceremonial role of military bands increased greatly. Bands became more prominent at parades and state events, thus helping to shape the identity of the forces they represented. The function of military music had therefore begun to change in this period. Advancements in military technology played an important role in these developments as well. Military music today. Military music in the 21st century differs even from that of 100 years ago. While military bands were no longer required on the battlefield in the 20th century, their music still served a purpose as propaganda during wartime. Now, however, you will largely only find military bands performing at ceremonial events. Bands perform to entertain troops or the public, to welcome a foreign member of state, or as a part of a special event. Military music, too, no longer has such a pronounced tone of propaganda. This is because it is not a tool to encourage enlistment in the armed forces. Although military bands still play patriotic music, the tone is more that of national pride and identity. Other commonly played military music includes national anthems, brass band music, and arrangements of orchestral pieces. We can therefore see that military music has changed greatly throughout history, from conveying orders with basic horns and drums to sophisticated military bands performing at ceremonial events. Music has always been an essential part of martial life. And just as we weren't able to have the wonderful parades that we usually have, we missed having the Rose Parade with the marching bands that come from all over the country, which is something that we look forward to on New Year's Day. And yesterday, not able to have those wonderful events. But on June 21st, which is Make Music Day, we hope to be able to very slowly come out and play music outdoors on the first day of summer. And all of you guys and gals, you've got your instruments packed away, get them out of those cases, dust them off, you know, take out your tap shoes, do, you know, whatever it is that you do, please sign up for Make Music LA and Make Music Day, which you can find. There's a Make Music event going on all over the country. And so if you're in New York, if you're in Chicago, if you're in Seattle, Washington, wherever you happen to be, I know that there is a Make Music Day event going on near you. So you can sign up or just be able to come out and listen to some great music. Music is wonderful for healing, and that's what we all have to do now. And it would be great for us to enjoy that. And here in LA, we're doing something, we've got a little twist on it. We're asking individuals, we're asking municipalities and the council districts and supervisory districts to help us fundraise so that we can pay professional musicians to perform on Make Music Day. Musicians of all stripes have had a very difficult year and a half, as we all have. And we'd like to help them by being able to pay them to perform on Make Music Day. So thank you very much for allowing me to be here today. I love coming and doing the show. And everyone stay healthy, mask up, keep your distance. And I look forward to being on again sometime.
Well, you're going to be back next month, Dorsey. We've roped her in to come back on at least a monthly basis to give us some updates on what's going on in the city with Make Music LA. And Dorsey, is there actual designated location here in LA where it's going to take place?
Well, that's the beauty of Make Music LA, and it will be all over the city.
All over.
So you'll have to go to our website, which is makemusicla.org, and take a look at the map, and you'll be able to see what's happening close to you.
I've been part of that, so I know. We performed from Santa Monica to, just all over the place. Hollywood, because of Make Music, and I was there when it first started, so.
Wow.
Fantastic. That was 2012.
Yep. Okay. They even kicked off a Make Music Long Beach, which is where I stay. So, but
we'll
go. You know, 21st, I'll be looking to do something.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you.
And thank you, Darcy, for that wonderful bit of information. So informative, too. A lot of that I had no idea, but glad that you brought it out and that our listeners and viewers be able to know how that music all was implemented around military. That's some phenomenal information. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Girlfriend, Taylor, would you please introduce our second guest speaker for today?
Sure, Connie. Gerald J.R. Wilson currently serves the DAV as the Department of California DAV Legislative Director, State Executive Committee Chair for the District 3, past DAV State of California Commander, 2016 to 17, past chapter commander for Pittsburgh Chapter 154 from 2015 to 2017. The founder and president of the Delta Veterans Group, Stand Down on the Delta, chairman of the board of directors of the United States Volunteer, and the current legislative officer for the California State Commanders Veterans Council. He is also a life member of the Antioch BFW Post 6435 and serves as the commander. He is also a life member of the DAV, American Legion, and American Vets. He also serves his community as a member of the Rotary, Masons, Lions, and Elks. Before joining the U.S. Army, JR was homeless and living on the streets at night and working during the day at a local grocery store in Antioch. Sleeping under freeway overpasses or in baseball dugouts, he still maintained working. Although he did not make great grades in high school, he used a local resource in every community, the library, and checked out the book Practice Armed Services Vocational Amplitude Battery from Antioch, California. JR, take it away.
Thank you. And I tell you what, I would to get back into the grades, I did not make very good grades. And I went into military intelligence, and it was because I went to the library and I checked out that practice ASVAB book, and it let me get into military intelligence. So an oxymoron, but there we go.
That's great.
And thank you for having me, and thank you for letting the DAV get out there and speak and talk about our mission with the in the Disabled American Veterans community. As you know, Consuela, the DAV on a national level started in 1920, but we got into California in 1922. So next year, we will be turning 100 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? And I tell you what, the department looks good for 100 years old. We're hoping for another 100 years.
That's right.
Well. And in you know, in the early 20s was when a lot of veterans organizations started here in California, to include the American Legion and VFW and stuff like that. So we got a lot of servers out in our community, and we're doing wonderful things. And with the DAV, certainly we help veterans sit down with their claims work. With the VA, and we fill out all of their paperwork for them. It's all free. We like that word free. Now, you do not have to be a member of the DAV to get those services as well. Only thing you have to do is be a veteran and want to file a claim. And we certainly help you with that through our chapter service officers, which there are 69 chapters throughout the state of California. We have over 70,000 life members. We also have department service officers at the VA medical centers, and we have national service officers at the VA regional office.
That's a lot of members. That is so great. And you had mentioned that you help with the benefits, help our veterans with benefits. What else? I know that you guys do everything, but just give us some idea other than benefits.
Actually, other than the benefits, we also do emergency relief. We have a lot of fires that happen in Northern California and Southern California as well. So the DAV always steps in for that. We also participate in the winter sports clinic for the VA. And that's where disabled veterans go to Colorado and they get to ski and all kinds of things. I went skiing when I was in my 20s. And it took me 45 minutes to get down the bunny slope. And I tell you what, these men and women that have no legs.
They
fly right by you.
It's amazing. I've seen that. It's absolutely amazing. That is so great. Well, we want to have you. You have to come back on the show again as well, because you have a wealth of information to share with our listeners and viewers. And Matt has some questions for you, and so does Charles. Take it away, Matt.
All right.
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions, JR.
Sure.
One of them, what is Delta? Delta.
Delta Veterans Group?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Delta Veterans Group is an organization that I founded in 2012. You know, I left the DAV as their supervisor in San Diego in 2004, and I needed to take time off, mental health and stuff, and I moved to Florida. And when I was there in Florida for 7 years, a long time, I really lived a non-purposeful life. So I moved back where I grew up. I grew up in Antioch, Pittsburgh, in the Bay Area. So I came back and I saw that there was an increase in homelessness, and specifically homeless veterans. And when I worked for the DAV in San Diego, I heard of homeless stand downs. So for the purpose of starting Contra Costa County's first multi-day stand down, we created Delta Veterans Group, which now has moved into housing, education, health, and employment. And we also do veterans memorial banners. Nobody gets paid. We're all volunteers, which is an absolutely wonderful thing. But we all love to serve our community. And we do that. The stand down on the Delta, of course, brings in about 350 to 400 veterans, and they live right on site. So we have March Air Force Base, the reserve base down there, the 163rd out of there brings up military tents for us. And we provide them full medical with the VA, dental with Healing California. There's about 25 dentists that come in and they do everything. If you can bring back a person's smile, you'd be amazed what that smile does with their confidence and their ability. But we also have court that comes in. We do wraparound services for those 4 days. And of course, those stand down ideas were started by the Vietnam vets down in San Diego in the mid 80s. It's a great format, really a way to bring that veteran back in and build that community or that camaraderie with them and stuff like that. So thank you very much for asking that.
Great. One last question that I have is I've been in touch with a person who went to you while you were at the DAV for assistance for her husband, I believe. And she told me that you were a blessing. So I think that had to do with paperwork and stuff. I mean, the VA can really be hard through. But apparently you got through and you helped them.
I tell you what, that couple, Paul is the veteran's name, and his wife is there. They are an absolutely wonderful couple. She did a lot of work, Matt. She really did. But you know, the VA does make all that paperwork very confusing, and the VA doesn't always grant things right away. And a lot of times our veterans, what would happen is they'll get denied by the VA. And then they'll just let the claim die, if you will, you know? And so you got to motivate them sometimes to keep them in the game. So with them, we were able to sit down with them, go over all the paperwork. One thing that we don't do, Matt, is we don't give them blank forms and have them fill it out, right? We want to sit down with that veteran, fill out that form, educate them on that form, and get them to do those things. And when the VA came back twice and denied that case. And of course, we fought him, and now he's 100% service connected. He was a door gunner in Vietnam and never really felt that he was a veteran because the VA denied him in the mid 90s and then denied him again in the early aughts. So he kind of just gave up, but we were able to reach him and his wife, and now he's 100% service connected veteran. Life has been changed, and we add years to those lives when we can do that, take away some of their stress.
Well, that's what it's all about.
Right. Absolutely. One couple, and now they go out and they kind of put that out in the community as well. So it's veterans helping veterans, and it's just that reciprocal, paying it back. So
great.
Absolutely love them. They're absolutely wonderful people. Thank you.
You know, I have a question for you. I asked our previous guest. You know, he does a lot of this, helping the veterans out and things like this. And I asked him. I said, well, do you usually find out what happens with a lot of these cases? And, you know, so when you work with someone, you know, is it like, your organization works with someone and then they kind of, you know, it's like a moving target, they're gone? Or is it something that you guys find out what the end results are?
Well, I tell you what, Charles, that's a very good question because, you know, you really want to be involved in that veteran's whole journey, right? And men and women. And we want to give a shout out to our women veterans. They are the fastest growing population. They're absolutely wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. Absolutely. So we try to keep track of them. I do a lot of that with the Delta Veterans Group, with the stand down, because those veterans are really in a place in their life that they need that extra services or that extra hand up. We do a stand down so they can stand up. They served our country, and now we want them to serve our community. So we try to follow them as much as we can and give them that support. It's not just financial support, not just getting service connection, but it's actually getting them back to that camaraderie, that firm foundation. Just like you, Charles, you like to serve your community. A lot of these men and women want to serve their community. So the service that we can provide them gives them that firm foundation. And then it's so awesome to see them stand up and serve again, and that confidence that comes with it. So we try to stay with them the whole time.
That's great, because the process with the VA it is very tough. You know, it's almost like they have a wall of resistance. You know, so like one guy, you know, they say they usually deny until they die. You know, and you know, some right. people are in that. You know, and it's wrong. I mean, to see a veteran, out on the streets, and when they can be actually, you know, I mean, you can literally have your legs blown off in a war and go to file disability, and they'll deny you the first time just because that's the procedure, and it's wrong. And, you know, a lot of these things have to be turned over, and, you know, with, of course, the laws and, things, you know.
You're absolutely right, Charles. And the DAV, and as well as other service organizations, really fight that in Washington, D.C., and that legislation, the claims process, the benefits process. You're right. There's a lot of barriers that get set up, and it does seem to be, you know, almost purposeful. But you'll be surprised too. There's a lot of people in the VA that will grant when they can and deny if they must. And that's kind of what we want them to do, right? We don't want them to switch that around, is deny when they can and grant if they must, right? No, we want them to grant when they can and deny when they must. And that's where we were able to help that other couple, was to navigate it. You know, a service officer, most of them know the forms, but you get into really good service officers, and the DAV does a lot of training for this, but you learn the regulations, the court cases associated with that. On the VA side, you learn the M21, which is their Bible, and how to interpret the laws and the regulation. So I think, you know, that's one of the advantages of going to a service organization, is you get that trained staff that can kind of navigate that, because you're right. Sometimes you can go 90 miles an hour right off the cliff when you could have made a left and navigate through that. So I give it to the service officers. A lot of them, our department service officers and chapter service officers, do it for free. They give their time. And then again, we want those veterans to serve another veteran as well and learn. So, yeah, absolutely. You're asking a great question, Charles.
That's great. You know, it's good to, you know, have organizations like yours to stand up and, you know, help these guys out. And, you know, it's ironic. I mean, it's nice that my our next guest or, you know, we'll be talking about some of the same stuff. So, man, it's good. Keep it up. You know, we need people like you.
I want to thank you. Thank you so much, JR. And you say veterans helping veterans. That's an important slogan, but I want you to know, and I think our listeners and viewers have always asked, Connie, why are you on the show? What made you start the radio show? Well, I'm not a vet. I'm just a mama and a grandma that so happened to 10 years ago bumped into an encampment of our veterans living on the streets of Skid Row, and it broke my heart. Charles and Matt have been right there with me as I champion to make a difference for this population of individuals, especially those that's living out in wheelchairs. I mean, how could this rich country allow our veterans who served and are responsible for our freedom to be living on the street? So damn near single-handedly, with a volunteer of two or three, we made a little difference. And I really want to reach out to your organization and Paralyzed Veterans and others to help us with our campaign. We're our mission. We're literally nearly there. My goal is to be able to, actually our mission is to provide stable housing for our veterans with an array of supportive services. And a lot of wonderful people have heard my plea, seeing that I was determined. Someone has donated us some land, 5 acres of land, and a world-renowned architect has offered to do some designing for us. And we just need organizations like yours and Paralyzed Veterans to help us with funding and resources and all the other things that goes with it. We also have 2 community colleges and 1 university that's also standing up for us. So this took 10 years, but it was awesome. A wonderful journey. I've learned a lot. And yes, you are absolutely right. My heart just broke about how our women veterans are being overlooked as well. That's a population that haven't gotten its just dues. And we're happy to be able to have representatives on that want to share some of the stories about our women vets as well. And we want to change some lives. So we need organizations like you guys and Paralyzed Veterans and others to come back and help us to make this a dynamic show where we can get the word out and make a difference. And I really want to thank you so much for being here today. Thank you. We're going to move on. Taylor, can you introduce our next returning guest?
Sure, Connie.
Before you present them, I just wanted to say thank you so much to our Paralyzed Veterans of America California chapter, who will be coming back monthly with a segment. So you take it away now, Taylor, and introduce our next guest. 2 guests.
Yes, Connie. Allow me to introduce Elmer Jacobs and Dick Fulton from the Paralyzed Veterans for America California chapter. Marine Corps Vietnam War veteran Elmer Jacobs has a passion for helping and serving fellow veterans. He is an advocate to secure the care for veterans with the most catastrophic and acute medical needs. Elmer was elected president of the Paralyzed Veterans of America California chapter in 2019. Air Force veteran Dick Fulton is a graduate of the United States Air Force Academy. He has a passion for supporting the disabled veteran community. Dick was hired as an executive director for the Paralyzed Veterans of America California chapter on September 2019. Take it away, Elmer and Dick.
Unmute yourself.
You both unmuted.
About that. Thank you, Consuela and Taylor, and always good to see you, Charles, and Matt. Always good to see you, my brother.
Thank you, JR,
really appreciate your sessions on the DAV, man. We got to work with you guys. You are our brothers out there. Paralyzed Veterans of America, we're honored to be back here on LA Talk Radio. You know, it does my heart good to be able to interact with LA Talk Radio, and especially Charles. Charles is one of our PVA California chapter members, and I've known Charles for quite a while now. He's even one of my fellow deacons at our church, you know, so he's close to my heart. But, Paralyzed Veterans of America California chapter, we're a nonprofit organization who are there for some of the most catastrophic injuries of our veterans, whether it's service-related or non-service-related. We are there to help paralyzed veterans. And our mission is to try to do whatever we can to improve their lives. And Consuela, you know, it's really an honor to be here to help you in your mission, you know, to provide housing for veterans. That's something that Dick and I kind of talked about. We even went to our board members and asked them if they would be there to support your organization. And we're definitely here to support you guys.
Thank you so much. We really need you. And we're so happy to have you on the team.
Absolutely. It takes a team and a village to help our veterans out there.
It does.
And so, our name of our show, by the way, is American Invisible Heroes, and it's aired by LA Talk Radio.
Yeah, now
give us our kudos.
Absolutely. Now Charles, he created a theme song for our chapter. I don't know if you have it available, Charles.
I do.
But could you play that for us?
It's a video. I'm gonna show. It's let me pull it up, and in the meantime, maybe you guys can say something while I get this thing ready. All right.
I just thought I would say real quick, JR, I really appreciated your speech, your talk. I got started, actually, I found my passion, I think, for helping veterans and stuff as an instructor for the Winter Sports Clinic out there in Snowmass about 15 years ago. And I've actually had the pleasure of skiing with your commander, quadruple amputee Coast Guardsman Dave Riley. I got to ski with him about 3 or 4 years ago. Just a great individual, and just my favorite week of the year is that last week of March out in Snowmass, where I get to ski with my fellow veterans and help take them down the mountains. And there's a reason they call that Miracles on the Mountainside, because it's truly where miracles happen. So glad that the DAV gets to co-sponsor with the VA on that every year. And our event is coming up this August in New York City, the National Veterans Wheelchair Games, which is one of the 6 major events that the VA puts on: Winter Sports Clinic, Summer Sports Clinic, the T-Tournament, the Golden Age Games, the Creative Arts Festival, and the Wheelchair Games. And that's the one event that the Paralyzed Veterans of America co-sponsors with the VA as well, like you sponsor many of those events. So it's nice to hear you chat, and I look forward to talking with you again in the near future.
So let me ask you, can you guys see my screen?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay, so a little backstory. I created a song for the city of Long Beach called Downtown Long Beach. And one day Elmer and I were chatting, and I don't know how it came up, but I said, man, I can make a version of that for you guys. You know, so I made just a, you know, just a short version for the PVA. And this is a video. It's a minute and 22 seconds, and it's got some pictures of some of the stuff that they're doing. So we'll talk about it on the other side.
Long Beach PVA, California chapter USA. The city by the waterfront, where the veterans work and play. Long Beach PVA, California chapter USA. The city by the waterfront, where the veterans work and play. Long Beach PVA,
Long Beach,
California chapter.
Long Beach,
PVA,
Long Beach,
California chapter.
I was just in the house and I saw a big crow attack and dropped him pretty high up.
That was exciting. Thank you, Charles, man. We really enjoyed it. That's my ringtone on my phone. You know, whenever you call me, I get to listen to that over and over again.
All right. Yeah. Taylor, you can introduce Dick.
Yes.
Dick is our executive director there. This one young man here is a blessing to our chapter. You know, he comes in 110% nonstop. He has brought our chapter in such a long way in a short time, and I will forever be grateful for Dick. So carry on, Dick.
No, I mean, appreciate it. It's not a one person group. It's a teamwork vision, and you know, you put your thoughts and ideas out there. My job is to figure out how to make those ideas become a reality. And I appreciate the flexibility that you've given me to do it. And we've together done some great things. And just like reaching out, you know, finding the things that our members thrive at, like Charles and this radio show and Charles's musical abilities, and finding the individual highlights that each of our members share, and finding a way to get them to really, you know, bloom in those areas, and do something for the veteran community. And that's, you know, that's just what we do, whether you're any of the numerous service organizations out there, community service organizations. It's all about helping people and making the world a better place, one event and one step at a time. That's what we try to do in our chapter.
It is, you know, and I just for the record, when COVID hit, these guys were like, you know, they were delivering food to veterans. It's like, you know, because, you know, the shutdown had just started, and it's like, well, do you need anything? And they actually call like monthly, you know, how you doing? You know, they have somebody that calls monthly, and, you know, they keep it's not one of these, you know, if you need something, call us. They'll call the veterans, and I like that, you know, because sometimes people just aren't too quick to want to, you know, try to get in touch with you. And so these guys, that's what I commend anybody who's helping these veterans, especially when you go out to find them, you know. And, Dick and Elmer, you know, they make sure that they want to make sure that everybody's up to date on their phone numbers and addresses and things like that, you know, because it's easy to, you know, lose someone without the contact. So I could, you know, it's great that you guys are doing this stuff.
Yeah, Charles, that you're absolutely right, man. When this pandemic hit, it just threw everybody for a loop, you know. And we know that we have over 600 members out there, and we needed to be in touch with them. So we created a birthday calling group who call all of our members on their birthday. A personal call wishing them happy birthday goes a long way. And like Charles was saying, we even tried to, we have like, I think it's like 75 inpatients at the SCI Center there in Long Beach that we make sure that they have things that they need to get in touch with their family. We donated like 14 iPads so that they can contact their family during virtual telecommunications, you know. And we try to go out of our way to make sure that not only just our members, even families out there who are suffering from hard times now, like Charles said, we have a food distribution group now who delivered over 25 meals to various families here in Long Beach. And so it's important, you guys, to share love with someone. That goes a long way.
Yeah, it is. You got that right. Well, we sure want to thank you for being here today. I mean, you have no idea how thrilled I am to be able to have you to share your wonderful information and give us an idea. You said that last time that you have some Zoom meetings that take place monthly, weekly, or different activities. Can you give us a little bit of information on that real quick?
Go ahead, Dick. Kind of explain that for me.
We call our chapter chat every Friday at 1 o'clock Pacific time, where it's kind of just a welcoming group for members to kind of come in, practice their Zoom skills. We get a lot of first-time people who've never used Zoom before, but we're kind of a super laid-back group and kind of walk them through the process so that they can feel comfortable and not feel technically challenged on their Zoom skills. And we have guest speakers come in. We just, the next, you know, 1 hour, like this radio show, the 1 hour goes relatively quickly. Then every Tuesday, we have a bingo session where every Tuesday at 2, so 2 for Tuesday, we play bingo. And we use the exact same Zoom link for that as we do the Friday chapter chat. So once you have our Zoom link every Tuesday or Friday, you can come hang out with us and just have a good time. Charles always comes in after he teaches his music class and comes in the last minute, comes in and wins a bingo game usually. gift cards to our chapter store where you can win great PVA gear, or sometimes we'll give away Amazon gift cards. It's just trying to give opportunities to people to be active, interact socially with other members from the safety of their home during this pandemic times. And what we've realized is even when we get back out and start doing stuff in person, there's such an important aspect of Zoom and virtual capability that I think everything we do is going to have some sort of a hybrid approach to it. We're going to have parties and events where they're live, but we're going to have a Zoom ability as well for the people who maybe just couldn't quite make the drive, even though they were safe and they wanted to come. It was just too far a drive to come. So I think Zoom is here to stay.
Yeah.
And the virtual world will become part of a hybrid process where you can choose to do something in person or choose to participate virtually. And California Chapter is going to have that capability to whatever works best for you, live or in person. We're going to be there to have it for you.
So, Elmer and Dick, can you send us, email me some information to put on our website about some of the activities and programs like your Zoom?
Absolutely. Well, we can definitely do that. The easiest thing is, I mean, our website is very simple. It's pvacc.org, Paralyzed Veterans America California Chapter.org. And right on our main page, we've got a calendar button.
Okay.
On that calendar button, it's just a Google calendar, and it's got all the different events that. And they're not just events that we do, it's just events that we have found out that other organizations are doing that we link to them. In fact, what we need to do is we need to put this radio show on there on our Saturday because we don't have a lot of weekend stuff. So
yeah, we'll
put a link to this, to your radio show on there that
people
can jump on there from our website. And as we continue to reach out to different groups and find the things that they're doing, we put them on our website just to let our members know what's available for them to do.
Exactly. And invite them on the show and let them know you're going to be on monthly and so on and so forth. And the same with you, JR. Okay, that's great.
Yeah, and one last thing, Consuela. You know, we just, California Chapter is one of the 32 PVA chapters here in the United States. Mm-hmm. We've one of the oldest chapters. We just celebrated our 75th birthday on March 7th.
We're not one of the oldest chapters. We are the original chapter. We are the oldest chapter. March 7th, 1946. So we're very proud of that fact.
And so PVA is celebrating one of their 75th birthday also in Las Vegas this week and coming up next week. We're going to go down there and try to celebrate with the PVA. It's a convention where they take care of a lot of business, but we're also going to have some fun there also. It's going to be right downtown at the Golden Nugget Hotel. So
we leave tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds fun.
And I want to mention one thing before they go. These guys are going to be our sponsor. They're going to be one of our sponsors to help, keep this radio show going alive. So,
thank you so much.
In fact, our board at our last meeting, our board agreed to give you a $500 donation to help with.
Oh, my God.
So we'll get with you off the track and get your information. We'll get that, present that money to you, but that'll help out.
That would be a godsend. Thank you so much. Thank you. This Polar Operation Conference got little pennies, but we're still out there making it work. And I really want to thank you for that donation.
Oh, you're welcome.
Real quick, I know we're going to move over to Matt for him to start winding it down, but I wanted to make an announcement. I would love to have JR's organization and Paralyzed Veterans to come back and welcome. We're going to have on, I think the last month of this month is the last day is the 30th of May. Well, we're having, you heard of Rosie the Riveters? Yeah, we love that. We're having the daughters of Rosie the Riveters coming on at that time. Yeah. And they're going to have a monthly show as well. There you go. And, we want you to welcome them, and they're having a big event, actually their anniversary, I think, is September the 3rd, and we want to have you to help us to welcome them to California, Los Angeles, and let them know how proud we are, because that's such a historical group of women that made a difference in World War II, and I'm on their board, and I'm just excited to have them on the show, and I need your support to make them welcome to L.A., California. Okay, so thank you so much. And we're going to move on over to Matt now as we wind down. Taylor, well, let's let Matt give his interview and then we'll go on Taylor and start winding it up. Take it away, Matt.
I would like to, first of all, express my sincere appreciation to Elmer and Dick for the great work that you're doing. I truly respect all that you do because you do a lot. And I just want to let you know that, and being a disabled veteran myself, I appreciate all that you do. Thank you. And our show is a lot about invisible heroes. And so we ask ourselves, what makes a hero? John Slauton says there are no archetypes within every hero falls, regardless of age, gender, nationality, skin color, sexual preference, or religion. The underlying qualities of a hero can appear anywhere and in anyone. First of all is courage. This is a classic characteristic of heroes, such as the fearless firefighters on 9/11 and the unflinching warriors of the civil rights movement. Courage and bravery has long been a cornerstone of heroism. Being able to overcome fear and charge into the fray, knowing that it may endanger your life or perhaps even end it, is inseparable from heroism in the minds of many. Humility. Being heroic means being humble and making it clear that your actions are in service to others and can only be completed with the help of others. Confidence. Maintaining a proper level of confidence in difficult situations can diffuse tension and comfort those you are trying to protect. Furthermore, believing in yourself and having confidence that what you are doing is right can also lead you to heroic feats. Selflessness, another timeless quality of heroes, particularly of those of the modern era, is selflessness, the willingness to sacrifice yourself, your energy, time, capital, and life if it means helping others. Heroes like Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King Jr., and Mother Teresa personally suffered and struggled in their lives while attempting to help others. In many cases, the lives of heroes are threatened or ended because they were serving and protecting others. These are just some of the characteristics of heroism and many of the characteristics of our military heroes that we recognize and honor every week.
Thank you so much, Matt. Well, we're going to have to wind it down now. And once again, we want to thank our guests for coming on today and to say that we so humbly appreciate the information that you shared and look forward to Paralyzed Veterans coming back next month. And JR, you think about how you want to play into this picture. We need your organization as well. So as we end the show for today, we want to always remind our listeners and our viewers that the purpose for our organizations having this show is to raise awareness about Operation Confidence's mission, which is to provide stable housing with a wide range of supportive services, including employment opportunities for disabled vets, especially those who have experienced homelessness. If you want to get behind our grassroots efforts, please send us an email to info@operationconfidence.org and visit our website, www.operationconfidence.org. We have some phenomenal resources on there as well. Thank you so much. This concludes the show. Next week, every Sunday from 2 to 2:50, 2:51 is when we're on. Say goodbye to everyone. Say goodbye to our listeners and our viewers.
Before they go, let's make sure they know about the advertising.
You know? Oh, for sure, for sure, for sure. We have some phenomenal rates. Taylor, real quick, tell us about our advertising rates.
We have 10-second and 30-second advertisement slots available. Please email info@operationconfidence.org for more information. Again, that's info@operationconfidence.org. And also, I would like to inform our viewers and radio listeners about Amazon Smell. While making your next purchase on Amazon, please go to Amazon Smell and type in Operation Confidence in the Choose Your Organization donation box. Amazon will make a small donation to Operation Confidence.
Thank you. Right. And how we sign off? Waiting on the music, Charles?
Waiting on the music.
Come on, give us the music so we can say bye.
Operation Confidence Radio Talk Show, America's Invisible Heroes, with Consuela Mackey, only on LA Talk Radio.
There we go. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.